Look again, if you would, verse 5 of this text, and you'll notice in this great prophecy a very interesting word, and in particular in the Hebrew. It says in verse 5, they shall ask the way to Zion with their faces thitherward, saying, come and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant, shall not be forgotten. Now, the word that I want you to notice here is the word join, which, as we said, is a very interesting word in the Hebrew, because what it means, literally, is to merge. It's essentially one entity coming in and joining into another one, and this entire prophecy in this text is presented, as it were, in the motif of a road, of a journey, of a path. Look again at verse 5. They shall ask the way to Zion, with their faces thitherward, saying, come and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. My people hath been lost sheep. So you see, here's this way, this road. Sometimes in the Bible it's called the King's Highway or the road to Zion. And Jeremiah says, let us come and join. Let us merge ourselves unto God and His plan. This again is a prophecy. This is Jeremiah predicting a merging up ahead in the coming years. It's sort of like driving on a country road or a state road, and you see a sign that says, merge ahead, do not stop. Well, in light of Jeremiah's prophecy to Israel, we know that in the most important application of it of all in the Bible, some of Israel did stop. Some of them simply slowed down. And others, sadly, exited the highway altogether. When the Lord Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey in Luke chapter 19, he was going somewhere. He was fulfilling the plan of God. And you know, it was time for the nation of Israel and his people to merge, to join themselves to the Lord, and a few of them did. Many of them simply slowed down, but most of them did not join themselves to their Christ and therefore his perpetual covenant. And so it is that in Jeremiah's prophecy this morning, we're reminded of some very wonderful, very sober truths concerning the plans and the purposes of God. And so it is in this today, this brand new year that God has given you. I trust you'll listen very carefully. I want to speak on the subject, the way to Zion. Verse 5 again, they shall ask the way to Zion. Father, please help us now, and I pray that our hearts and our minds, our thoughts will be on your word, listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit who has much to say to all of us here. And we commit this time into your hands again and afresh. Please help us in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to look again with me very quickly at verse 6 of this text. Jeremiah, you'll notice, uses the analogy of lost and wandering sheep on their way. He says, my people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. You know, Isaiah puts it another way when he says, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. In other words, picture the people of this world, would you? Individuals, ethnic groups, people groups, nations, religious groups, atheists, scientists, everybody. They're all traveling down their road in life. And you know, they may think that the road that they're on is the right road or the safe road or, in fact, the true road, and not believe at all that they are gone astray. There is a way, the Bible says, that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But then, in the midst of all of the people in the world traveling on their own various roads, along comes the Lord Jesus. God is born in the flesh in a town called Bethlehem. And suddenly, there is vividly presented to them one way. That is the only true way that leads to Zion and to his everlasting covenant. And of course, as God coming into this dark and this sinful world, he has set this one, what Jesus called narrow, straight, unmistakable, crystal clear road, right in the midst of all of man's wayward roads and paths. And by the way, you know, long before God came in the flesh to reveal his way, there were many. With Jeremiah, who said in prophecy, merge ahead, do not stop. In fact, John the Baptist was the last of these messengers who said to Israel, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. In other words, Israel, merge ahead, do not stop. And so we read in verse 5 again, they shall ask the way to Zion. There are three things I want to say this morning. Reference to this, the wonderful way of Zion, something all of the people in this room and all the people in the world need to understand about joining, merging unto the Lord. The first truth I want you to notice, number one, is a truth about direction. Did you see what it said in verse 5? This is very important. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces thitherward. Set that way. Some time ago, I was driving down the road and I was listening to a well-known radio commentator, and you know, I was listening to music like you were. Some of you were on the radio for a couple of weeks. You can only listen to music, Christmas music, so long on the radio. You know, Santa Baby, about the 40th time, you just want to smash the radio, right? So I'm listening for a few minutes anyway to this radio commentator, and he started to say by his own admission that he was almost persuaded, like Agrippa, to become a Christian. But he stated that he believed, as the common belief, he thought it was sort of unique to himself, but he stated the very common belief of many roads and one destination. I was fascinated as I listened to him and I thought about it, because I thought, here's an otherwise logical, conservative, rational thinking man who is putting forth the absolute illogical and irrational idea that all beliefs, no matter what you believe, ultimately lead to the same God. And he even said, Hindu, Muslim, Christian, Jew, Buddhist, it doesn't matter. Now, of course, what I thought about in regards to that was that he doesn't believe that with regards to anything else in the world or the universe. And he states as much every day on the radio. In fact, nobody does. If NASA scientists and engineers tried to apply that, for example, to Mars exploration, and they said, you know, it doesn't matter what coordinates or data or instructions or procedures that you put into the computers. It doesn't matter where you launch from. Just blast off, because all rockets lead to Mars. Really, many launch pads, one destination. Does that work at all? Maybe you go to the port of Miami and you see all kinds of cruise ships, fishing charters, merchant tankers, and European yachts. You have your family there and you say to your family, hey, let's all get on a different vessel. Honey, you get on the oil tanker. I'll get on the Queen Mary too. And kids, you divide up in all these various fishing charters. We'll all meet together in Mexico, because all boats lead to Cozumel. Really? Do all roads, do all highways lead to Topeka, Kansas? I-95 South doesn't. And you can get on I-95 South and be as sincere in your heart as you want to be. You can believe in your heart and enjoy that road and say, this is the road that I believe. This is my truth. This is how I believe that I'm going to get to Topeka, Kansas. You're going to see Fidel Castro before you see Topeka, Kansas. If all roads lead to God the Father, and that was the contention and is the contention by so many, then folks, the Father would not have sent his Son to die and suffer. And before he died and suffered, he would not have sent his Son to declare, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. God would not sacrifice his own Son just to provide, quote, another way to the Father. No, God gave his Son in order to provide the way. The old saying is, things that are different are not the same, right? And folks, that's why religions and cultures differ. People are different. It's like the old story. The Texas town had a serious problem with a population explosion of squirrels. Squirrels were everywhere, and it was a problem. And so the churches each had a meeting as to what to do. The Presbyterians got together. After 3 months and 20 committees, they finally declared, we will not intervene with God's preordained plan for these squirrels. We leave them alone. The Episcopalians met. They announced, none of God's creatures should be harmed. So they left them alone. The Charismatics all met, and they said, let's anoint them with oil and sell them as holy squirrels. Amen. But that didn't work out so well. The Baptists had the solution. They said, let's baptize them, make them members of our church, and then we'll only see them Christmas and Easter. Amen. But you know, people and people's beliefs are different. That's why there are different belief systems. That's why there are different groups in the world. But God sent Christ. Everybody's talking about Christmas last week, last Sunday, a week ago today. But the reason why God sent His Son into this world was to declare and to be the only way to the Father. Isaiah 55:7 says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy, and will abundantly pardon." 1 Peter 2:25 says, "For you were a sheep going astray, but you're returned to the shepherd and the bishop of your souls." In other words, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to merge. Stop going your own direction and join yourself to the Lord and go His direction. It is a truth about direction. The second thing I want you to notice, number two, there's a truth about dispensation. Look at verse 4. "In those days and in that time." Did you know that God is a God of dispensations? He's a God of days and times. Keep reading. "In those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the children of Israel shall come. They and the children of Judah together, going and weeping, they shall go and seek the Lord their God. They shall ask the way." Down to verse 20. "In those days and in that time, saith the Lord." Now note this carefully. There are at least four times in the New Testament you will find the word dispensation. It says the dispensation of the gospel, the dispensation of grace, the dispensation of God, and the dispensation of the fullness of times. In other words, basically what it means is simply that God has a designated time and He has a designated place, so that there are certain times when the road in the plan of God merges, or in our case, when the opportunity to merge is presented before us. Paul called it that in Ephesians 3:2, the dispensation of the grace of God to you word. In other words, the time and the place to join yourself to the Lord in a perpetual, that means never-ending covenant, the time to get off your road and to get on His road is right now. It's not tomorrow. It's not 2013. It is today and right now. When the Lord Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a colt, He did so in according on the very day of a prophecy that was centuries old. He stood on the Mount of Olives. The moment that Israel, the very moment that Israel should have merged into God's plan and gone in the direction of God, the Gospel of Luke says that Jesus wept. And you know why He wept? He wept. He said in Luke 19:44, "Thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." They had an opportunity to merge, and they did not, and it broke the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. A few years ago, I stopped by the old John Smith sub by Abacoa. It's not there any longer. And I studied there for a while, and sometimes bring home a tuna sub for Ben. And I was studying, I walked in, and I opened the door for, of all people, Alex Gonzalez of the Florida Marlins. He's with, I think, the Brewers now. He was dressed in a t-shirt and his gold chain and some jeans, but I recognized him and I placed my order. I sat down with my briefcase, I pulled up my papers, and I started to read. And right next to me in the booth, there was a little boy about 12 years old with his dad. And he was all dressed in Marlins regalia, and he said to his dad, "Hey, Dad, isn't that Alex Gonzalez who was standing in line?" His dad said, No. Alex sat down by himself. The boy said it again. "He really looks like Alex Gonzalez, Dad." His dad laughed and said, "Son, do you think Alex Gonzalez would come and eat in John Smith subs during spring training?" The boy kind of sighed and started going through. He had a little stack of baseball cards. He was going through them, and he whispered again, "Dad, are you sure? Because I have his card." And I heard his dad say, "Look, son, there's a couple Dwyer baseball players in that booth. If they thought it was Alec Gonzalez, they'd be talking to him. It's not Alec Gonzalez." I didn't say anything yet. The boy kept looking over him, waiting him, and finally Alex got up to leave. And I could tell the boy was dying to see if it was him to get his autograph. And so for the boy's sake, I said, "Alex!" And he turned and looked at me, and I said, "Hey, ¿cómo estás?" And he said, "Hey, muy bien." And he started to walk out. And the boy looked at me with big eyes, and I said, "Now, go now." And he jumped up just in time. He had the World Series baseball card. Alex got him to sign it. And the son sat down, and his dad looked at me, and he said, "Thank you for that." He said, "Are you his agent? Because I'll buy your meal." And I said, Si, senor. But you know, ladies and gentlemen, just like that boy, there are little windows of opportunity. And there are people who say, no. No, Jesus is not really the only way. No, son, stay where you are. Jesus is not the single, the truth, the life, and the way. And there are windows of opportunity that you have and I have, a time and a place. And that time and the place to make that decision is right now for Christ. Get off of your road. Get off of your way and your path and join yourself unto the Lord your God. And by the way, if you're breathing right now and your heart is beating right now, it doesn't matter how old you are, how set in your ways you are, how complicated things are, it's never too late to make that choice. Today is the day. I was out on visitation some years ago, and I stopped at the apartment. One of our sweet widows still comes to our church. She told me a little story about a car accident she had years ago. She said they had just stopped to get a can of honey. In those days, it was warm. It was in a can. And after that, they were driving down the highway, and all of a sudden, the car swerved and flipped over the car that she was in, and it came to a stop. The honey apparently opened up the can, and it had completely fallen right on top of her head and was coming down, and she had a small cut with some blood, but she thought that the honey was all of her blood. And she said, "Pastor, I said to myself, I'm going to die right here and right now." And then she said, she tasted it, and she realized it was honey and not her blood. But she said, "Pastor, have you ever had one of those moments when you knew that you were going to die?" And I have had one of those. These are close call moments. You know what they are? They are a reminder that there is coming an actual time when it's no longer just the close call. You know, one of the annual media rituals that comes around every new year are the obituaries for celebrities who died in the previous year. You've seen them. They probably had them yesterday in the news. They'll have them all day. They'll be in USA Today, everywhere. Who died in 2011? Or who did we lose? And of course, last year included people like Christopher Hitchens, Kim Jong-il, Joe Frazier, Andy Rooney, Steve Jobs, and on it goes. The only thing is, these are the, quote, notables. 57 billion people died in 2011. The media can't obviously cover them all. Just the so-called celebrities. You won't see a year in review on NBC Tonight that says, "Old Bubba died in the mountains of East Tennessee in 2011. They won't cover that. You know who Bubba was? Bubba's the man whose wife went to the newspaper to put in his obituary last year, but she only had $2, and the cost for obituaries was $1 a word. So she just put two words, "Bubba died." The editor of the paper felt sorry for her, felt bad about that, gave her another $3 so that she could at least say a little bit more about her late husband's memory. So she did. She put, now in the obituary, "Bubba died, boat for sale." Amen. I think Bubba did a lot of fishing away from his wife, don't you? But again, you know what? You'll see that. You'll hear it. There'll be pictures. And they will celebrate the celebrities, the famous names of those who died in the past year. But you know, long before they or we have our obituary written down in the paper, we have had those close calls, or two, or five. You know, it's amazing how quickly when we have those, when the danger passes, we just settle down and think once again that we have all the time in the world, when truly we do not. When it comes to pleasing God, you have enough time, all the time that you need. But in the course of our allotted time, there are dispensations. Call them opportunities, beloved, to join ourselves to the will of God, to the plan of God, to the program of God, as a Tolson sang just a moment ago. You want to hear, "Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And these are the times in your life, and right now, at this moment, is one of those when the Holy Spirit of God comes to you and speaks to your own heart and says to you, warning, "Merge ahead, do not stop." A truth about direction and dispensation. Number three, you'll notice there's also a truth about destination. Look again at verse 4, would you? "In those days and at that time, saith the Lord, the children of Israel shall come. They and the children of Judah together, going and weeping, they shall go and seek the Lord their God. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces thitherward, saying, Come, let us join ourselves to the Lord in" what? "A perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten." You know, everybody here knows, I think, that earthly Zion is a picture of heavenly Zion. We are marching to Zion. We are marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. And so it is that when Jeremiah and all of the prophets ever spoke about this repentance, simply a turning of your own way, turning away from your way and onto his way, when Jeremiah was speaking about joining and merging, he was talking about joining to the Lord and his covenant, but it is going to a everlasting covenant. It means this: when you join him, when you merge with him, you are going where he is going. Where was he going? You'll notice in verse 5 that this is a perpetual covenant. In other words, it is an eternal city that is our eternal destination. You see, folks, that's why the notion that all roads lead to God is such a fallacy. First of all, not everyone has the same God in mind. Secondly, and more importantly, not everybody has the same destination in mind. For Muslims, their Allah is sending them to a place of physical delights, especially tailored and suited for men. For Hindus, the final destination isn't really final. It's just a never-ending circle that goes on forever. For Buddhists, it's all very esoterical. Religions teach their followers to view eternity through the eyes of their own dogma or their own tastes. It's sort of like the men who came upon the Grand Canyon. There was an artist and a scientist, and there was a cowboy, and the artist looked at the Grand Canyon, and he said, "What a beautiful scene to put on canvas." And the scientist looked at the Grand Canyon, and through his eyes, he said, "What an interesting display of erosion and rock formation." And the cowboy looked at it, and he said, "What a terrible place to lose your cow," right? I mean, everybody sees something through their own experience. Well, guess what? When the Lord Jesus referred to heaven, he's the only one who came from there and returned to there. When the Lord Jesus came from there, you know what he called heaven? He called it in John 14, my Father's house. In other words, heaven is simply the home where God dwells. And on the very night before Jesus was about to go back there, he said to his disciples, "I go to prepare a place for you." In other words, folks, they had merged. They chose the king's highway, and they were therefore destined for the city of Zion. It is in that very same text that Jesus said, "Whither ye go, ye know, and the way, whither I go, ye know, and the way, ye know." Thomas understandably said, "Lord, we do not know where you're going and the way. We don't know the way." And that is when Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." And that's where we're headed. A few years ago, Andy and I were driving along the Florida Turnpike, and it was just south of Palm Beach Gardens, and I hit something sharp in the road, and it caused a blowout on a rear tire. It was not a big deal, obviously, so I thought it was an opportunity maybe to show Andy again how to change tires and whatnot, and we did. Of course, you know, when I was younger, cars were equipped with real man-sized jacks, right? Heavy things. You actually had to use a big tire iron to muscle that thing off the ground. It even made manly muscle sounds when you jacked it up. Right? And so it was like, I'm looking forward to jacking this thing up in front of Andy. But this thing was equipped with one of those little sissy jacks made in Japan. They just wind up. You've seen them? And they take forever, and your stick's about that big, and it goes... And it takes forever. Sure enough, as soon as I got the tire off, a big semi came by and blew the van right off the jack. And so now it's really hard. It was a very hot summer day, 120% humidity. And for whatever reason, right then, Andy made a statement that at first was senseless to me. He said, "Well, Dad, at least I'm sweating. At least it happened close to home." You know, it was a true statement. We were yards from our exit. But I thought, what difference does it make? I'm lying on my back. It's 12:30 in the afternoon. It's 194 degrees in humidity. And the truck just blew the van off the jack. And Andy says, "At least we're close to home." I mean, I thought, would the tire be heavier if it happened in New Jersey? I didn't say anything because immediately he said, "You know what I mean, Dad? Because we're close to home. Whenever we get this thing finished,
we don't have very far to go.
Well, then I thought about that later on. And I thought about the Christian life, because everything, ladies and gentlemen, that happens to us, every problem, every temptation, every heartache, every hardship, you know, no matter what we go through in life, we should always remember at least it's happening very close to home. For the Christian, heaven and glory is never far away. Let me ask you a question. 2012. This is the year for some of you in this room to merge. In fact, this is the day to merge to God's will, God's plan, and to accept Christ as Savior. You put it off in all of 2011, 10, 9, far as you can go back. You're not saved. You have a window of opportunity, if you're breathing, to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. But you will not always have that opportunity. Today is the day to be saved. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you know there are certain times in your life, favorable moments, times when the Holy Spirit of God speaks to you about something that you should have done last year, last week. Merge ahead. Do not stop. The choir sang a moment ago about the midnight cry, and I'm telling you, it could easily, obviously be this year. What if Christ comes this year? Don't you want to merge ahead before? Father, bless the invitation time now. I pray, God, that when we leave this place, we'll recognize this is another year. As we sang earlier, great is thy faithfulness. You were faithful last year. We can trust you to be faithful this year. But it is incumbent upon us to forsake our way and join up with your way through your word. May those who are not sure about salvation accept Jesus Christ today as Savior and Lord. May the Christians in this room who have accepted Christ, may they rededicate and renew themselves to doing your will for the remainder of their lives until Christ comes. We'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.